Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words. We are introducing a different facet of, I guess, interviewing. Normally I do behind-the-scenes people and some people who play on stage, but today we have someone from a really noteworthy cause, and he will talk all about it. We've got Jamie Cyvrus. I've been pronouncing his name incorrectly. It's like Miley Cyrus with a V in between the two parts. So it's spelled S-I-V-R-A-I-S, but it's pronounced Cyvrus. So hopefully I will not screw that up. He's from a cause called A Voice for the Innocent. And I actually met him on the Warped Tour this past summer, and we talked for a little bit, and he might be saying some really, really sad and controversial things on the air, but it's something that I feel needs to be heard. Next week, we are interviewing Atreyu Ryken, who has a management company, and he actually used to work with a band I played in called Greenlight Theory. In addition, he's a contributor for Alternative Press magazine. We've got Todd Koval from Ambiguous Management the following week, and I said this last week, he manages his wife's band, so that's a horse of another color. I have no idea what that's like. I mean, sometimes things get personal when working with artists. I can't imagine working with someone I share a bed with. Maybe they don't share a bed. Maybe it's kind of like Brady Bunch, where they sleep in the same room on twin beds. Who knows? Then we've got Greg Long from We Are Triumphant Records. He brought the world Traitors. He brought the world Neck Deep. And he also manages a bunch of artists on his own. And there's another new artist that a lot of people are getting excited about called Blossom. Kind of maybe the new Tonight Alive. We'll see what happens with that. And then the following week, we've got Matt Vigliotti, based out of the Dirty South, Atlanta, Georgia. He does A&R for Standby Records, and he manages a whole bunch of bands, including GP, who I am a huge fan of, and Call Me Charisma, which is taking some new hip-hop worlds by storm. So again, as always, every Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m., on the East Coast, you can listen. You can listen on an app, on an Adobe app. I just downloaded it recently, and it's awesome. You don't even need to go on the internet. You just click it. And Candy Hearts, I just want to say one quick thing. This week are donating every single penny that they make to the ACLU. So you download some of their songs on Bandcamp. Pay what you want. You could pay 50 cents if you want, but every penny is going to the ACLU more than ever. We usually take a pretty apolitical stance, I guess. I mean, once in a while I say stuff like fuck Trump. And sometimes when you're involved with social causes, you kind of have to separate. But I'm happy to say that one of the artists that I'm working with is doing something really positive. So stick around for Jamie from A Voice for the Innocent, and have a great day. All right, we are back with Waldman's Words. I hope you enjoyed that commercial break. We've got Jamie from A Voice for the Innocent. So before you start, I got your name correct. Cyvrus? That's how it is?
Cyvrus.
Good.
That's it.
Oh my God, I've been pronouncing it wrong a lot. I'm sure I'm the first. So thank you for that.
That's all right.
Thank you.
I'm very used to it.
As you should be with your unconventional, some would argue pretentious. I just think it's beautiful.
You know what? So my last name is French. Mm-hmm. And I obviously nothing wrong with anyone who is French. However, I think there is sometimes an unfortunate sense of arrogance that may come along with it. And then I found out, like 5 or 6 years ago, I found out that it was actually French Canadian. And so now I just feel very different. I don't quite know what to make of it. But
well, hopefully you'll get in with the Muslim ban. But basically, what I found out when I was in France in 10th grade with the Foreign Language Honor Society, my French skills were extremely minimal. I took Italian, and I would try really, really hard because, I didn't want to assume that everyone spoke English like a lot of brash Americans. And I'd say something to a server or to a shopkeeper, and then they would snootily answer me really quickly in English, like, oh, this is the thing. And I just got really upset. So anyway, you've yet to offend me, and the fact that we have a mutual appreciation for all things dad joke makes me feel great.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. And all things early Weezer.
Damn right, dude.
Which I appreciate about. I love the Blue Album, and I love Pinkerton so much, and I I love that you love them as well.
Well, I actually got to see Weezer on the Pinkerton tour right before Matt Sharp left when they were opening for No Doubt. That was my first concert without my parents, and it was amazing. And I love how many people name check Pinkerton as an influence. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but it just got to be a platinum record 20 years after the fact, sometime last year. So it works.
I did not know that. I do love that album, and my wife and I started looking into Madame Butterfly and the story behind Pinkerton, and why Rivers was so inspired to write so many of the songs. Mm-hmm. To the point that now we even have an artist rendering of Puccini on our wall.
Oh, really?
Who wrote Madame Butterfly, the opera. And I couldn't tell you a single other thing about him, but we love that story so much.
'90s? Did you get it on CD in the 90s?
What's that?
Pinkerton, because...
No, I was a late bloomer to Pinkerton. Probably, 10 or 12 years ago. But I knew the Blue Album when it was out and new. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. For a lot of my life, even in high school, I would get an album that I loved and then never necessarily realize that, there might be more albums. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't know why that was. I would like bands... But it took me a long time to get in the habit of being like, they might have a whole library of music,
An insane library. That's what happened with me and Silverchair. I was not really into Frog Stomp or Freak Show when they first came out, but then someone showed me Neon Ballroom, and after that, I just got obsessed, and I'm kind of the opposite of you. I just bought every single thing that they ever released. Yeah. But going just back to Pinkerton on CD quickly, and then we'll actually talk about some things having to do with your company, but you lift... When you open the CD and you lift, the black thing where the CD is on, there's a map, and it's in Italian, and it references Madame Butterfly on it. So there you go.
Very cool. Very cool. I'll have to look at least be able to Google that.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure that there's at least 750,000 people who have scanned that and posted it. So
right. I have the vinyl. I wonder if it's included in the vinyl. I'll have to look.
In the vinyl, there's a lot of pictures that you've never seen before. And actually, I manage a producer-engineer who's worked on that record, Pinkerton. So I fanboy
over him. I saw that.
Yeah.
I think I saw that. So really awesome. Tell him I love his work.
I will tell Dave Dominguez, shameless plug, that Mr. Jamie Sivris. See, I wrote it down just so I don't screw this up. Indeed is a fan of his work. So we met this summer through a buddy of mine, actually, who works, who was doing some work for Set It Off and Fearless Records. His name is Ronnie, and he was just walking me around a bit. And I guess let's talk about that quickly.
Yeah. Voice of the Innocent was out on tour this summer with Warped Tour, which is our second year being involved with Warped Tour. It was our first year doing the whole tour, and it's funny, I met Ronnie, we just kept ending up in the shower line at the same time.
Really? That's a good way to meet someone.
So we'd stand there and chat for 20 minutes while we were waiting.
That's how I met my wife, so at the shower line at Warped Tour.
right, yeah. And so I told him kind of about, and we can get into this for sure, but I kind of told him about the classes we were doing, the Save Our Scene workshops we were doing out on the tour. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I think that's great. We talked a bit about that. And then he was passing through right as one started. And, cause we would do them oftentimes in catering after dinner had been served and they're cleaning up, we'd go set up there. And Ronnie passed through and I was like, hey, we're doing one of those workshops if you want to stop through. And he was like, yeah, I got 5 or 10 minutes. I'll sit down. And, and the whole workshop took between an hour and a half, and hour and a half later, Ronnie's still sitting there after he only had 10 minutes. He was so involved and cared so much about the issue of, sexual violence and specifically sexual violence in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And then he did the same thing. He hooked us up with Ice Nine Kills and got them to one of the workshops. And they've been touring for a long time anyway, and a lot of this workshop was designed for more newer bands who aren't as used to the road and things like that. But so he did the same thing with that. He like walked them to the workshop and he's like, all right, well, you guys have fun. I'll probably head out after 10 minutes. And then at the end of the workshop, he was there again. So aside from me, he's the only one who was at more than one workshop for the whole thing. So yeah, Ronnie, I mean, he was such a great guy and he was so helpful to us. And
integrating Fearless Acts and just spreading the word. I mean, I honestly had never heard of your cause, and we're going to definitely delve into that more later, especially with Save Our Scene as well. But when we had Kevin Lyman here on this show, you were actually the only person I name dropped from Warped Tour. So there you go. And he's a fan.
Well, thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, Kevin's been a tremendous help to us as well.
I mean, getting the entire Warped Tour, that takes a little bit of chutzpah, and doing that entire tour and not being something, I guess, quote unquote, pleasant to hear must be really, you know, eye opening for a lot of these kids at these shows. I really want to hear more about that.
Yeah, and you know, sexual violence is an issue that is a lot more present than I think a lot of people realize. And a lot of these kids that are going to Warped Tour certainly know about it. Like, if they've not directly been impacted by it, someone they know has, you know? I mean, pretty much everyone without exception that stopped at our table cared about this issue already to some level, you know? And Warped Tour is such a great place for those nonprofits and for those causes. And there's so many great causes out there being represented. Mm-hmm. And when you have these kids who are, you know, showing up and to hear all their favorite bands, and then they can also learn about all these places that can maybe help them with something they're experiencing, or where they can get involved to help others with things they care about. Like, you know, I think it's just a really cool atmosphere, and it's a great thing for the kids. And I think having resources specifically talking about sexual assault, sexual abuse.
Promoting activism with, I guess, the Hot Topic crowd is a great thing to do, so that they're doing something positive for the world. And I said this last week when I guess was doing the intro to the show, and I said that I learned about PETA. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian, but I definitely have some animal eating guilt because of bands like Anti-Flag and Midtown going to shows and hearing about that. And I rock my Voice for an Innocent t-shirt quite often. So gotten stopped, of course. Well, I mean, it's literally the least I could do. So
it's funny that you mentioned PETA, because I was vegetarian for 4 years. And it was almost exclusively because of Goldfinger.
Oh yeah. I just posted about them today. Wow. Yeah. Open Your Eyes probably.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Open Your Eyes. Was that the record or?
It was, yeah, Open Your Eyes. It was such, and I actually, he did, so on the Open Your Eyes tour, he did a protest of a different KFC in every city, John Feldman did, and we went and protested KFC with him, you know, and for us at the time, it was more, let's go protest, I'd have protested anything, you know, so I loved Goldfinger, but, yeah, I mean, like, so that was just a funny thing that
was that in Cincy?
That I experienced.
Where you went to do
that? I was in Cincinnati, yeah.
So you didn't protest a Skyline Chili or anything, but you protested.
He did not, no. Okay. And I think maybe he either didn't know about it, or maybe it wasn't big enough to you know, be seen
it's
in his
all you
radar.
Guys talk
have
about.
Have you had Skyline?
Of course I have. My old band played Warped Tour in Cincinnati, and I'm not sure if we had it in Cincy per se. I think it was either like just outside, like in Kentucky. Because I know that Kentucky and Cincinnati are very close to each other. What I knew about Cincinnati before Skyline Chili was the movie Traffic. And I also knew Foxy Shazam. So that was my Cincinnati experience. But what was it like growing up there? Because Cincinnati is quite gritty of a city at some parts.
Yeah. I have more hometown pride than maybe anybody. I love Cincinnati. I'll talk about Cincinnati with anyone. Didn't necessarily always feel this way, but now, I mean, I played in bands too, and having traveled, there are plenty of cities that I really, really loved. Always loved coming home, though, you know.
Mm-hmm. I didn't love Long Island until I left it. It happens sometimes when you grow up somewhere, you always want to be somewhere else, and now you've gained, I guess, an appreciation for it, especially after seeing a lot of the country touring.
Yeah, and I was that way too, where I think I always wanted to move to, I mean, I was playing in punk bands. I wanted to be in California, you know.
Damn right.
during the early 2000s, I wanted to hang out with Blink-182. That was what I wanted, you know. And now I have such an appreciation for it. I think I care about the things that I used to, but I think I care about more things now. Mm-hmm. I'm not particularly a fan of Major League Baseball. I just don't follow it. But we're lucky enough to have a team in our city, which I know many cities do not. I mean, mm-hmm. not every state has a team even. We have a city, or we have a team, and not only that, they're the first team.
LA didn't have then, football teams until this year for a while, and now they have two.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild,
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And I am a huge NFL fan, so the fact that we have
Bengals.
You know, we have a team that competes some years, you know, mm-hmm. maybe not this year, but, you know. Well, I mean, aside from sports, like Cincinnati was actually a big city that had some involvement with like the Underground Railroad, and there's actually a building just about a mile from my house, and sits on a corner, and it's got a big plaque on the side, and it was, you know, it was around in the 1800s and was a hideout on the Underground Railroad.
Oh, so, wow!
You know,
I just knew it was often misspelled. That's all I know about Cincinnati is that no one can spell it correctly. So
that's true. Yeah, that is true. A lot of people just resort to Cincy.
Yeah,
it's a little easier, which is fine.
That's what I wrote on my outline of this interview. Number one, how we met. Number two, Cincy, and I wrote your name and I circled it. So
yeah,
it's like Paris, the band Paris with a V. You know, that's how you pronounce your name. So
right, yeah. We did have some race riots in the early 2000s.
Oh, fun.
so that was, you know, that was kind of a tumultuous time for our city. But you know, we have a lot of people compare Cincinnati to you know, Ferguson and Baltimore, and a lot of places where there's some race riots going on within the past year or so.
Wow.
I think I've definitely become kind of a more of a politically minded person. If you follow me on Facebook,
I do. We actually talk about that because, I mean, this is actually number 8 on my sheet, but
sorry.
Your call. No, dude. How would you know? And first of all, we go off tangent. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be natural because there's no script to this. You're like, what are we going to talk about? I said, don't worry about it. We got this. But your cause is the kind of thing that Tea Party people and extreme liberals can get behind. It's so apolitical. Mm-hmm. It's human rights. And you'd think that causes like that wouldn't cause controversy, but there's always some schmuck who's like, whatever, man, like, they shouldn't have this, and because of their own preconceived political beliefs. But I love your cause because of that. I mean, you and I think come from, I guess, a more left background, but this cause, it's just so, it affects everyone. I mean, you really never, I mean, watch the movie Taken. Like, it affects people in that regard too. So I really want to hear about A Voice for the Innocent. Also, Save Our Scene as well, because I've never attended any of the workshops. I mean, I've read things that you've posted and your website, because obviously a band that I work with, Mirror Eyes, is aligned with you guys. So I really want to hear about it.
Yeah. So I agree. I love that about our cause. It's a cause that's very personal to me. I mean, I launched A Voice for the Innocent about 4 years ago. Two of the people that I launched it with, who actually helped think of the ideas and really craft how it's going to work, there were like 7 of us total. Three of us total are still very much working on it. One of them is my wife, which is really exciting. It's really cool to have, you know, share that with her. I was sexually abused as a kid by my father, and for 3 years. And when I finally told my mom, you know, she was able to get me the help I needed, get me out of the situation, obviously. She made sure that I had support coming in from everything from you know, other family members to her friends to her church community to, I mean, anywhere she could, you know.
I appreciate you saying this here, by the way. I know it's not an easy thing to talk about, and I just want to let you know that it takes a lot of strength. So no one's ever said anything this substantial on my show. So I appreciate you saying that. I'm fortunately not a victim of sexual abuse, but we all know people who've been adversely affected. So thank you again. That's it. I just wanted to recognize that.
Thank you. I'm honored to have the platform because I recognize the fortunate circumstance I had with a mom who handled it for me a textbook way, it sucked that I had to go through that, especially from a biological parent, but I mean, it sucks for anybody to have to go through it from anybody. And I recognize that a lot of people don't have the support that my mom was able to give me.
Probably most people.
And that's where A Voice for the Innocent, that's where I wanted to, the void that I wanted to fill. If people weren't ready to tell their family, or if their family didn't believe them, or if they couldn't tell right now for whatever reason, I wanted to provide that spot for them. I wanted them to be able to go online and, you can be as anonymous as you want to be. You obviously choose your own username, and you can pick your first and last name, or you can pick your favorite song lyric. It doesn't matter. We don't ask for any information except for an email address, which you can fake, and that's just to confirm that you're a person. And then you tell your story, and you can be as vague or as detailed as you want. We do not, we don't edit the story. So whatever you want to put out there is what's out there, whatever you're comfortable with. And we don't dig for more information. We just have a community of people there that try and support.
And it really helps people. I mean, it's when you quote unquote come out, for lack of a better word, as saying that you are a victim of this, it's kind of, I guess, similar to the coming out process that, gay, lesbian, transgender, all those people have to experience, because everyone grieves their own way, and everyone expresses themselves their own way, and when it's their right time for them to do it. And you have quite a resource for it where people can connect. Like when I was, I'm going to bring up Weezer again, but I remember in high school, I was communicating with people on AOL in chat rooms that really liked Weezer. And obviously it's not the same thing, but it's nice to have some commonality with strangers. So
absolutely. That's a really good comparison. We actually, one of our founding members, was a girl named Callie, who, probably about a year or so into our organization, and Callie is still a really good friend of mine, but a year or so into our organization, Callie came out as trans. And up until then, I'd only known Callie as, someone who presented as a male. And she came out as trans, and I learned a whole lot about, the T part of LGBT. I thought I was such an ally, and I really didn't know much about that world at all. And
I mean, a lot of people didn't until recently. A lot of people.
And, we can't blame ourselves for the things that we didn't used to know. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that I got to learn and
from the source.
Hopefully be supportive. And so Callie actually wrote an article for us one time. It's probably still back in the archives somewhere, but about how, in that exact same thing, about how, we have closets, and sometimes the closet is aligned with coming out as gay or as trans, but sometimes that closet is, sexual abuse. It's something we're hiding from, and I think that's a really great comparison.
Well, I'm glad I was able to do something good. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to get into more details about Voice for the Innocent, Save Our Scene, and in particular, touring. So stick around. We've got Jamie Cyrus from A Voice for the Innocent, and this is by far the most poignant episode of this show. So thank you. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Hello, we are back with Jamie Cyrus of A Voice for the Innocent, Save Our Scene. So I guess we were briefly talking about the online aspects of what you do, but what was it like when you took it on the road? I mean, Warped Tour, there's people, I mean, I'd say the mean age there is about 16, 17 years old, but I mean, you had old folks like me there who were just exposed to it. There's parents, there's a lot of people, and it's such a positive cause aligned with something so dark. So I really want to hear about that, aside from shower lines,
Sure, yeah. So when we first launched A Voice for the Innocent 4 years ago, I had kind of been at a point where, like I said, I had played in bands for the decade prior, and I toured and traveled, and had a lot of fun. But when we first launched it, it was kind of like, you know, okay, we've got this website. How do we let people know about it? And it was, you know, that at that point, we turned to a lot of Cincinnati local bands that I already knew and said, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Can I set up a booth at your show, you know, whatever. And so then we started having, you know, we started having our own shows, and we started doing, then that would turn into like, okay, well, we're doing pretty well at shows. How about we try a comic convention? How about we try, you know, setting up at Pride and marching in a Pride parade? Cincinnati's got a really big Pride celebration. So we were already very used to events. So like, when we went on Warp, definitely it was scaled up a little bit, but it was
what do you
very
mean,
used
what
to
do you
tabling
mean by,
already.
What do you mean by scaled up? You mean just having a booth and things like that, or
yeah? So
you had a nice booth for the shade.
Thank you.
No, trust me, that's where people escape heat stroke. So I appreciate that.
That's absolutely true. We actually dealt with that a lot the first year. We did 11 dates in 2015, and so we went out. And we did our best, you know, but we everybody's got these really, really nice, gorgeous branded tents. And we showed up and we had a gray Coleman camping tent because that's just what we had, you know.
You're getting started, man. You know.
And kids would come up to our tent and they would say, like, you know, they'd be on the phone and they'd be like, I'm right by the... And then they'd look up to try to see our name, and they'd be like, Coleman? And they'd be like, no, we're calling a voice. You know.
Oh, that's funny.
So really,
that's
really,
product placement, dude. You should get some royalties from Coleman, I'm telling you.
I probably should. But it was really, you know, we were really happy to be in a position to actually have a branded tent this year and be out there and you know, in line with so many other great organizations. So when we're at our table... you know, we hand out some different information just about the services that we offer. We also have, so just some general information about the issue. So like, you know, how to tell, what to do if you've been assaulted, what to do if your friend tells you they've been assaulted, how to maybe recognize abuse in a child, these kinds of things, some national resources. So we have some general resources we hang out, but we hand out. But one of the cool things that we were given is this volunteer in Cincinnati actually took some time. It was between 80 and 90 hours, I think, he dedicated, and he researched and compiled every abuse and crisis center that he could find across the nation, and he sorted them by state. Mm-hmm. So we had literally resources in the neighborhoods of almost every kid that was on Warped Tour, and they'd come up to our table, and didn't matter what state we were in, we could hand them, we could say, like, these are the information, these are the resources around you. And so many times kids would look, and they'd look at our list, and they would say, like, oh my gosh, there's one in my hometown. And I would say, did you know that? And they'd say, no. So many of these organizations, and I work for one, you know, I work for one actually in Northern Kentucky, and they do such great work and provide such great services for people and don't necessarily have the means to do the outreach to let their communities know that they're there. So they just kind of sit there and they, you know, help who they can that comes to them. So it's really kind of an honor for us to be able to go around and say, like, look at all these places you have around you. So we had state literature for all 50 states.
Wow.
So that was another thing we were able to hand out. And we just made sure people left with them. And there were a couple times that people would come up, you know, we might be in Massachusetts and someone would be like, oh, I'm actually from California. And I'd be like, hang on 1 second, and I could give them California resources, you know.
There's probably a bunch around me that I don't even know about. I mean, in L.A., I
can only
imagine.
I mean, California, we have a literal 8.5 by 11 page with like 8-point font. There's so many services available.
It's so great and so sad. It's so great that's
right
there, but it's so sad there needs to be so many.
Right.
I actually, one time when I was teaching guitar a lot, I taught a guitar lesson at a safe house. I didn't know it was
wow
a safe house. Yeah. I didn't realize it, and I walked in, and it was that. That's what it was. And obviously, you're not supposed to know that it's a safe house because that's the whole point. But I guess a lot
right
of these centers for, you know, for people, victims of sexual assault, you know, it's not like they have a billboard in front of their house for it. So
exactly. Yeah. Especially when they're leaving a relationship or if, you know, if there's, you know, people that could potentially bring them harm. Yeah. A lot mm-hmm of times they're, a little better off in a shelter for a little bit. And the agency I work for has an undisclosed shelter as well. So it's cool to be able to
probably houses kids too, and adults with children, and just insane amount. The stories in those places. So can you talk about Save Our Scene quickly? Like, imagine I was an artist on Warped Tour and I wanted to go to one of your workshops. Can you explain exactly what goes on in it? Because if someone says that they're going to do something for 10 minutes and stays for an hour and a half, I would say that it's some eye-opening stuff. So I'd love to hear about that.
It's literally just a discussion. You know, we refrain from calling it a class because it's not a class. It's a pointed discussion. And on the surface, you know, most people say, you know, that they care about the people around them not being hurt by sexual violence in some capacity. Of course, people think that, you know. So we basically go in and we say, look, we're not here to point fingers at anybody. That's not what we're doing. We're here to say we care about people that are hurt by this. That's it. Let's see how we can help. So,
well, nonpartisan. It's nonpartisan. It's just if you care about the greater good, unless you're real, real detrimental to society, I don't see how anyone could be like, yeah, this cause isn't good. So,
right. And I even, you know, I posted kind of a controversial thing on my personal Facebook this morning, and then I just felt the need to remind people, like, you know what? I post a lot of stuff about what's political. My organization is not political. We're not religious. We are. If it doesn't care, I don't care what you believe. You got a spot there if you need it. You know,
you posted something a few months ago, and I talked to you about this, about how, I don't know if it was a synagogue or a Jewish center, was vandalized by a swastika.
Yes.
And then some schmohawk, like, basically became a Holocaust denier on your thing. And it's just, first of all, you don't even know this person, you know?
I did not know that person.
It's just insane how you could say something like, right now, I could say, it's Black History Month today. You know, something about honor the African Americans, or just the people who are, you know, black around the world that have done good. And someone would be like, fuck the black people. It's just, no matter what you do, like, someone's just going to say something like that. So it boggles my mind that. Anyway, we could talk about that for a while.
Yeah, that was an interesting. I came out, I've been trying to go to the gym a lot this year and get a little better shape. And I'd come out from the gym and I had like 90 notifications. And I was like, what is happening?
Yep. I think the person just kept going. And I think they deleted themselves from your stuff just because they were just getting a bunch of people going, you dumb moron, like, you're not saying anything substantive or helpful. So
good riddance.
Yeah, exactly. Hope you had the time of not your life. Anyway, so you and I are peers in that you have a podcast. Is it called a podcast or is it a radio show or what? I'd love to hear about that because you offered to have me on and I said, not after, until I have you. So I want to hear about
it. Yeah. Ours is a podcast. You know, our whole idea is to try to talk about sexual violence in a different way than has been for so long, you know, reach new audiences, you know, hence going after a younger crowd and saying, hey, this is there for you. And so we want to just be able to bring that, our message of hope and like your future doesn't have to be determined by your past. Like, we try to bring that through as many mediums as possible. So our podcast just started. I think it started in like October of last year. So I mean, we've literally had like five or six episodes.
Mine started then too, man.
I'm sorry.
This show started in fall of last year too, right after I got back from.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it definitely started since I've been back from Warped Tour. So our podcast is called More to the Story. I know of a couple podcasts where they bring on like survivors of sexual violence and they tell their story on there, and I think it's a great and great outlet for them. I didn't want to do what they were already doing. Mm-hmm. Not that I wouldn't ever have someone share their story, but there are so many issues that surround this issue. So that we kind of wanted to talk about, you know, just the various things that people deal with that's aside from just the assault. So, you know, in November and December, we tried to talk heavy about like family, like, you know, we're just coming out of a ridiculously heated political cycle. And
that's an understatement.
Whether you backed Trump, whether you backed Clinton, or whether you backed neither, sexual assault became part of the conversation. You know, whether it was Hillary silencing people or Trump assaulting people or mm-hmm. allegedly assaulting or whatever you want to say. That's not the point of what I'm trying to get at. It was that, you know, if you've been affected by sexual assault, all of a sudden, even the president, like, discussion has sexual assault involved in it.
And Clinton had the same thing in 92. Bill.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah. I don't know if it was as graphic as grab her by the pussy, but it was definitely sure. something that happened. And, yeah, I don't recall this happening during the Obama-Romney or mm-hmm. the, you know, so it's...
No, yeah, I mean, I remember thinking, like, John McCain's got ideas I don't like. Romney's got ideas I don't like. I wasn't mm-hmm. opposed to them as people, you know.
Yeah.
But I just want, you know, Thanksgiving holidays, they're notorious for that uncle that we don't want to have to deal with their comments, or our parents who are the opposite side of the political spectrum as us and, you know, chastise us for being... thinking or believing whatever we do, like, yep. So we just wanted to have discussion around, like, how to curb that, how to take care of yourself. We had a big discussion about self-care, because whether you call it, I kind of hate the phrase self-care, but I think taking care of yourself mentally is so absolutely important.
Well, that's what you do with the information you're given. You know, if you're affected in a positive way by the groups you're a part of, those groups that you're a part of, you're not involved with them every single minute of every single day. It's how you deal with everything after
exactly.
that. So it's, yeah. and it's a lot. I mean, that's why I'm always an advocate for therapy. Always.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. We are too. You know, we talked, there's a lot of discussion around, like, you know, can I still be a fan of fill in the blank if mm-hmm. they have done fill in the blank, you know?
Yep.
Like, you know, for the person who grew up loving the Pittsburgh Steelers and yep. watched them every single day with their dad, you know, after allegations came out about Ben Roethlisberger, do you have to stop watching
Penn State
them,
too?
You know,
I mean, speaking of Pennsylvania and all that stuff, I mean,
sure.
there's some and bands. I mean, this example isn't as graphic, but I have trouble listening to a certain band now just because I met the lead singer in person and he was such a dick.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. let alone, you know, someone like Ted Nugent, who as a kid, obviously, I didn't know that he was a complete redneck. But after hearing
right.
about all he says, how can you listen to their music and not separate? And it's difficult. Some people see art as just art, and the person who created it isn't, their personal beliefs aren't as important. Some people are just like, no, man, like, if behind these words and these melodies is someone who's really hateful, how can I listen? So it's tough.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I try to understand both sides because, you know, for instance, Michael Jackson, I have a huge history with my wife, with my best friend, with my mom, of loving Michael Jackson's music.
Yep.
I can't necessarily remove myself from all those great memories I have, you know, so especially now that he's dead, should I not listen? Now that they've kind of actually found contents at Neverland Ranch right before Warp started this year, it feels differently. But, you know, at the same
time... Wait, what do you mean exactly at Warped Tour? I do know that Michael Jackson and his out-of-court settlements and a lot of the press, negative press about potential for molestation, I know for a fact that he shared beds with young boys. So what are you talking
right.
about with Neverland?
I don't know the exact circumstances around it, but there were things that were, like, boxes or something that were still owned by the Neverland Ranch, like estate, that took years and years for people to have the legal right to open. And literally, like, the week Warped Tour started this past year, it was open, and it was a lot of really, really horrendous, you know, pornography, animal torture that he owned, you know.
Animal torture?
And it kind of...
What? It's crazy. Like, you know, when you see a movie and a dog dies, people go nuts and they cry and...
Yeah,
more than like a nuclear holocaust. What do you mean animal torture? I didn't hear about this. The guy to my right, Fish, is usually I guess keeps a straight face a lot, and he looked at me kind of with the rock's eye and raised his eyebrows like, what animal torture? What do you mean?
I didn't watch any of the videos but that's just, you know, these are just what the reports are, and I'll be happy to share some links with you, so you're welcome to post them on your page to find not of the actual videos, but at least of the news.
No. I assume you don't have those, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know exactly what
he was involved with some shady shit, and that we could just leave it at that. We have a few more minutes left, so let's end positively. So, what's your favorite dad joke?
Gosh, I mean, there are.
Besides my entire Facebook feed, like, what is your favorite dad joke? Right. I want to hear about it.
This is not. It's such a dumb joke. I need you to know how dumb it is. It's not.
Well, all dad jokes are dumb jokes. That's the whole
joke,
point.
But I heard this joke when I was in college. This kid told it, and I thought it was so. I mean, it's the biggest anti joke I've ever heard. But it comes with emotion.
You're giving a huge build up, dude. This better be awesome.
You just say, "What is green and invisible?"
What?
And then you hold out your empty hand and you say, "This cabbage." It's the literal dumbest. It's been my favorite joke for 14 years.
I mean, yeah, that is really cabbage. That is stupid. That's not a joke that you tell with words over the phone. But I mean, I get it. It's definitely an anti joke.
Yeah.
I've got one for you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Two.
To who?
To whom? See, normally I don't tell jokes like this on the air, but I figure that we're talking about such heavy things. I wanted deviate a tad. So I guess with the little bit of time left, can you give your socials and your website, and just for anyone who is listening, you know, this might really help you if you are a victim or if you are friends or family with someone who might need this. So please.
Yeah. Websites, anyone is welcome. It is free, easy to use. It's avfti.org for a voice for the innocent.org. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook's just a voice for the innocent. Twitter and Instagram is at avfti. And if you like podcasts, we do talk about these issues kind of in different lights. That is more to the story. And it is on iTunes, and it is wherever you listen to podcasts, you should be able to find it.
Wow. And are you intending on doing Warped again?
Yes. We are unofficially saying yes, we're doing it. We are still a very small nonprofit, so we don't have any major sources of funding. So we're working out logistics, feeling very optimistic about working those out. Kevin seems to be very much in our corner again. So
yeah, he was very into it, which
yeah,
it was really cool to hear that.
He was the reason we were there last year, the whole reason we were there. So
his daughter is involved with all the nonprofits, I believe, right? I think that's her thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The plan is currently to be out there, although we haven't made a big social media announcement because we're still kind of finalizing a couple things, but I do think that we will be out there. So
that's wonderful. And again, I know we both told really stupid jokes. I would argue that yours was stupider. But basically, but yours, I'll try that and see if it gets a laugh. I think it's funny, the green cabbage. Yeah, it won't.
It will not. It will get some stupid looks, though. And that is what's funny to me.
Well, then job well done. But again, thank you very much for even agreeing to do this. I really, really hope that this helps anyone listening, and I know for a fact that you're making a very positive difference in the world today. So I just want to say much respect, fist pound. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to having you on mine.
Damn right, man. Well, again, on Waldman's Words, Tuesdays, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We've got Atreyu Ryken next week. And he is a great writer and a great manager. So stick around and have a good week.